Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words which form the basis for our meditation this evening we have already heard in the reading of the Passion History. They are also recorded in the 13th chapter of St. John's Gospel, and we hear again this verse. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." In the narrative of our Lord's Passion, the disciple Peter does not emerge as a very desirable character. He is best known for his impetuous swordsmanship in the garden, his boastful, "Lord, I will never betray you," and by his fault and its result, which is summed up in the words, "Peter went out and wept bitterly." His restoration comes only after he meets the risen Lord. And yet this Peter, in the midst of his foolishness, his moral weakness, and his lack of courage, emerges nonetheless as having a certain perceptiveness, even when Jesus tests him with hard-to-understand paradoxical statements. Separated from the moment when Jesus predicts Peter's denial and Peter's shameful exit from the high priest's courtyard, Peter can still argue with Jesus that Jesus must not wash his feet only, but also his hands and his head. Thoroughly, in other words. And by that he appears to prophetically acknowledge the weakness that he will demonstrate during the course of the evening and the morning hours. And that, of course, is the theme of Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, which points to the nature and the necessity of true repentance as it introduces the penitential season of Lent. And so we have heard the words of Psalm 51, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. My sin is ever before me." The foot washing, which is recorded in the 13th chapter of John, was a washing with water. And it symbolized the servanthood of our Lord. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And here the servant is himself the ransom, the sacrifice for the sins of all. And so the water quickly becomes the blood of the sacrifice, and our Lord's action in washing their feet is also a premonition of what would come to pass. The blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It washes not only my feet, not only my hands and my head, but it washes, that blood does, my innermost being. In the Old Testament Day of Atonement, with its ritual washing with water and the shedding of blood for atonement, that is the washing and the cleansing which is required for reconciliation with God. And thus Peter, as the apostle of the crucified and risen Lord, can much later speak of baptism as God's act which not merely removes the filth of the flesh, but restores us with a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Christ, who shed his blood for all people. All of this, of course, is probably not so much a part of Peter's thinking the evening which began the bloody suffering of Christ for human sin. But Peter does know that he needs something more than a foot bath. My hands and my head too. He understands that he needs a real bath. He needs an immersion. And though he thinks only in terms of water, he could later on preach, "You are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ." No doubt, Peter was well-intentioned when he protested that Jesus needed to wash him entirely, not just his feet. His repentance was undoubtedly sincere. But there, too, he signifies the nature of Christian repentance. It is not a one-time ritual, but a daily necessity. Before the sun rose again, Peter fell into a most horrendous sin, not a sin of weak flesh, but the sin of denying this God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And his need of repentance can also be seen more than once in the dealings of the apostles of the risen Christ with each other. The words of Psalm 130, "Out of the depths I cry to thee," belong to the repentance to which God's people are called. King David, Peter, and ourselves no less. The fathers of our church were willing to call repentance or confession a sacrament, this for the sake of the absolution, which must answer the repentant heart, "Your sins are forgiven." And so Peter's bravado, his recognition of his weakness, and his later grief over his sins stand before us as the divine reminder to all of us of our repeated denial and our betrayal of our Lord, and his faithfulness over and over and over again to hear our repentance and absolve us, having washed not only our feet, but our minds and hearts, our hands and our head, in the cleansing blood of his suffering and death. And don't forget Judas. Judas surely felt no less grief over his betrayal of Jesus than did Peter. The difference was not in the magnitude of their sins. The difference is in the fact that Peter did cry out to the Lord, and Judas remained in his grief, and he despaired, keeping his own counsel, and he killed himself. But Peter is contrite and receives the Lord's absolution. And this is where the repentance of Ash Wednesday and our Lenten season must take us. Our guilt is shown to us by the law, and knowing that, we stand before our God with contrite hearts. We confess our sins to him, and we receive his absolution. The psalmist David, who looked toward the bloody bath of the cross, receives that absolution. And we who now stand in the shadow of that cross receive the same absolution. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Amen.